Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another episode of Geek Cave Podcast Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin, and I've been told that I may have, quote, overreacted on the last movie podcast, so I've been... Chad?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Apology accepted.
Thank you.
We got some messages. People were concerned about the working relationship between you two. So,
if you could just sign this notarized note,
notarized note, mind you.
Yes. Right there. Explaining to my wife that yes, I did apologize. It was witnessed by Darren.
Well, and our audience just now. Yeah. So.
I mean, I used to have notes that my signed and stuff sent home to my parents. I never thought I'd have to do it to my wife.
The out of context quote of the day. Never thought I'd have to do it to my wife. I'm Chad. Movies.
I guess he'll sign that later. it's your segment.
Yep. So I don't know if you guys remember the Boxcar Children books.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Now a cartoon was made a while back, just the Boxcar Children. It was all right. It seems that more of those movies are in the works from Shout Factory. Shout exclamation point Factory.
Let it all out.
Yeah. And Legacy Classics. I'm intrigued because I read almost every single one of the original, Gertrude Chandler Warner books growing up. I'll be interested to see how they change the format because the first book is survival adventure. Mm-hmm. And after that, they're all mysteries. And so I kind of want to know how they're going to change format for it, but whatever. So cinematic universes are becoming a thing.
They are.
Guys.
Yep.
And now everyone's trying to make one.
Yep.
The Fast and the Furious movies, which have several movies already, I think 8, they're working on 9.
I remember Hasbro announced that Transformers and G.I. Joe were going to be a thing.
And the spinoffs happening and putting things in the universe. Now, before it's even been released, when all we have is just like 2 pictures.
Yeah.
Lionsgate's talking about its plans for the Power Rangers franchise. They're planning on making, including 5, 6, or 7 movies and possible tie-ins for the film.
Ooh. Lionsgate, come on, guys.
Go, money grabbers.
Now, personally, I think I'd be happier just having a tie-in show up.
Yeah.
Like, imagine for a moment if Transformers and G.I. Joe were in the same universe. Mm-hmm. I think I would be happier almost having it being an Easter egg that you just kind of notice in the background.
Yeah.
Like you got the Transformers fighting and then somewhere off you see the Cobra logo. Yes. It's just like, wait a minute.
This is like I Am Legend again.
There are greater things afoot. So, but Marvel did it and did it right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they put a lot of good thought into it. And it's only just recently started to show the cracks in it.
Mm-hmm. They were going to do so with Amazing Spider-Man, but Amazing Spider-Man 2 kind of flopped.
It's
so.
Probably a good thing that they didn't, quite honestly. But the way that it kind of is... And then DC said, well, we need to have our own universe. I mean, we've got our own comics universe, so we ought to have our own cinematic universe. DC should have stuck with the animated universe.
Yeah. Or at least made the television shows part of said cinematic universe. Yeah.
They could have done better. I don't know that you know, Hasbro and Mattel and Lionsgate, I don't know that they need cinematic universes.
No. If the Power Rangers movie is good, and I hope it is, I would probably gladly sit through a few of those by themselves anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with the movies in and of themselves. I don't know that you need to have this great... Yeah, I don't know that I need to see the Power Rangers, you know, fighting alongside Voltron.
That would be pretty awesome.
That would be fun, though.
Actually, that would be great. Bad example.
No, it's a good example. I don't think I need to see that.
Yeah.
If it were to happen, then it should be a surprise to me and to everyone else. Instead of something that they're trying to do now before the first movie is even out. And they don't know how it's even going to be received, let alone if sequels are going to come out. I mean, that'd be like putting a teaser at the end of Green Lantern.
Oh.
So,
it's funny because it sucked.
Oh, I liked it.
So, the further adventures of Chili Palmer will not be televised.
Okay.
And based on the confusion in your eyes, you're probably confused. And if so, that's probably because the movie Get Shorty wasn't all that memorable to you.
No.
It was a John Travolta, Danny DeVito. Well, Danny DeVito was almost a cameo in it. The Rock was in it,
yeah.
He was in the next one.
Oh, you're right.
He was in... Damn, no, I don't remember. Anyway, but the sequel. So, The Adventures of Miles Daly will be televised. And it's basically a Get Shorty spinoff television show that's being developed by Epix and MGM. And it's just the latest in a long line of movies. Be cool. Thank you.
There you go.
Now, this is just the latest in a long line of movies that are being turned into television shows. Other examples include Real Genius, now sans Val Kilmer, Marley and Me, and let's be honest, we all know how that series is going to end. Uncle Buck, which is oddly not the first time that this will have been developed for a TV show.
This is true.
Yeah.
Rush Hour, because the world needs more loud, racially insensitive comedy.
Mm-hmm. Don't we all?
Uh-huh. And The Truman Show, which I will grant has possibility as long as you only plan on one series, like one season.
Oh, yeah.
At best. I don't know if it is a lack of originality in the content creators or a lack of cojones in the people who are signing off on ideas and properties.
Yeah.
The notion that one would turn a movie or the premise of a movie into a series long or multiple series long story seems a little hinky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't expect that there would be a castle or a big bang every single season. Yeah. Something that's trying something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, I mean, I realize that Big Bang is not overly original. It was just original in the audience it tried to find.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that audience now really doesn't care for it.
Yeah. So, video game movies are notoriously bad. You know, I think we can pretty much agree on
this.
Yeah. Now, Warcraft, it's bad. The Rotten Tomatoes has given it a 22%.
Is that audience or critic?
That's critic.
Okay, because
me and
Rotten Tomatoes have had some disagreements.
Well, and that's kind of the case generally, is that the audience and the critics rarely see perfectly eye to eye.
Right.
But it's still a good barometer, you know, for things. Angry Birds is doing reasonably well with audiences, and it's got like a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, to put that in perspective, Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, a movie that we liked, you know, is currently at 27%.
You know. Boo, hiss. Hiss, boo.
Now, critics are looking at different things than your average moviegoer.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And they remark on what they see. And when you have to sit through every movie that comes out.
Literally every.
I would imagine that there's probably quite a few of them that the audiences like, because they're only seeing one movie this week or one movie this month.
Yeah.
Versus seeing
every
movie.
Yeah.
So I get it. I understand. And I may be completely off. I mean, the Angry Birds movie might be really good. You know, that it's doing so. But the problem I'm having is that its success has led to some things that have got me concerned.
Okay.
Apparently, there is now going to be a Fruit Ninja movie.
I heard about this. Yeah.
And that just begs the question, well, what's next?
Flappy Bird.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to get a Candy Crush movie?
God, I hope
Is Cookie Clicker going to grace the big screen?
Only if there's a crossover with PBS.
Or, you know, to bring your Flappy Bird. Is Flappy Bird going to get a franchise, you know, a big cinematic universe where it's going to cross over with Temple Run and Muffin Knight?
Oh, Jesus. Clash of Clans is like the surprise antagonist.
But, I mean, I get that video games tell magnificent stories. And I don't think anyone would be terribly surprised if there was an Uncharted movie that somebody seriously wanted to make.
They've tried.
There have been rumors of it.
They've tried. I think De Niro.
The fact that Ratchet and Clank was made into a movie, which is not a great movie, to be honest. The parts of it that are good are the parts that you look at and say, man, I want to play that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why am I watching this on the screen?
I think the best video game movie I've seen was Prince of Persia, and that was just kind of middling.
Mm-hmm.
So. But Disney was involved, which probably is what rose it from crap to middling.
But to take... there is a difference, I guess, to me in taking a large, full-scale, full-story kind of video game and trying to make movies out of it, like Resident Evil and Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
You know, which, well, I'll grant the first couple of Resident Evil movies I did enjoy.
Oh, okay. Silent Hill...
Mm-hmm. There's options there. But when you take something that not only doesn't have a story, but intentionally does not have a story.
Yeah. Battleship.
That bothers me a little bit. And it really does make me wonder where they're going to go with Fruit Ninja, where seriously, all you're supposed to, the entire game is slice fruit as it flings at your screen. Yeah.
I don't know. It's so crazy.
So it's... In a, how do I want to put this? In a movie setup that is already proven to be not a great product at the end, you know, video game movies, good idea that have yet to meet expectations.
Yeah.
You know, why would you choose games that have less to work with?
Yeah. Well, Nintendo's getting into the movie-making business.
That's what I hear.
So, I think, actually, they have the best shot.
Well, that's because they want to make their own movies.
Right, and Marvel showed that, you know, it's probably best to do it with the people who actually know what the properties are about. Assassin's Creed is coming soon, and the majority of the movie will take place in modern day, not in the good bits of Assassin's Creed.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah.
So, it is what it is. And I realize this is a lot more commentary than news, but it's just this...
That's what the podcast is about.
There's just that little alarm going off in my head saying, no, don't sign off on that. There are literally hundreds of other things that you could say yes to that people will pay to watch on the big screen. Don't make Candy Crush. Don't make a Fruit Ninja movie.
Do the concessions count as microtransactions? Are they going to put little credit card readers on the seats?
In-app purchases.
And so, like, if you want to see the rest of the movie, swipe your credit card now. Oh, good, because I don't. I'm going to try to sneak into
I'm
Assassin's
done.
Creed
the movie is actually, like, 270 hours long. And you'd have to swipe your card, like, every 25 minutes to see the next segment.
No, good thing I'm stopping at 2.
I'm sorry, the first time they say credit card, nope, I'm done.
Yeah. Sorry, I only invest in free to watch movies, so you know, I'll just keep watching the same 10 minutes over and over. It's fine.
I don't need plot resolution because there's no plot.
I'll just put the theater screen to sleep for a couple hours, and I'll come back when I'm allowed to watch some more.
Did I talk about the longest movie last month?
I don't recall.
I don't remember.
No.
It and I wish I could remember. It's called like 270 hours,
Jesus,
or something, or 700 hours. That's what it is. That's how long this movie is. 700, and all it is like it's a static shot of a beach and things happen on it.
Ooh.
The guy released a trailer for it.
Yeah.
It's 70 minutes long.
Ambiance, thelongestfilm.com.
Thank you.
720 hours long.
Wow. Okay. It is going to be screened once in half a dozen. Not too many.
Yeah, it's like 30 days long.
Uh-huh. After that one's screening, the film is supposedly going to be destroyed.
I can help with that.
And to my mind, it's like, that is the most arrogant,
yeah,
you know, pretentious load of you know, donkey testicles.
It's right up there with making an album and only releasing it to one person.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Wu-Tang Clan, how you doing?
I just... Really?
Yeah.
I mean, one, you want to do something like make a 720-hour film, fine. Go at it.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually kind of intriguing that you would want to do that. And if you can tell a story that takes 720 hours to tell, that's kind of amazing. But if you're doing it just to say, hey, look what we did, and then you're going to basically forbid anyone from being able to watch the whole thing because you got to sleep sometime. No one is going to have seen this whole movie.
Yeah.
No one. Literally no one. And even the director will not have been able to see this whole movie. And that's a problem. It's just a problem. It's like the, what's the one with John Malkovich and the... It's the whiskey commercial, you know, the film you'll never get to see. Have you seen this?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
John Malkovich was in a movie. And when the movie was done, they basically put it in a safe with a time lock that it's not supposed to be open for 100 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard.
So, like, 2114 or something is when this movie will release. And they tied it in with some kind of whiskey or scotch. You know, the idea that good things age well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, but this is some kind of sci-fi film with John Malkovich. So I'm guessing that it's not going to age well. That's assuming that it even has something that it'll be able to be played on
mm-hmm.
in 100 years. Somebody's going to be like digging into their grandmother's basement. It's like, I know we've got a DVD player in here somewhere.
No, it's probably on a flash drive.
Yeah.
And by then, USB technology will have gone.
Well, we'll just be plugging straight into the hive mind at that point. So.
Yeah.
Well, we won't.
Well, no. Unless we find ways to extend the human lifespan far and beyond. And at that point...
Well, like I said, I'm immortal, so I'll...
I mean, well, I'll probably have like a skin flap that I can lift up for like the old technology just so I can claim I'm backwards compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, it will be on my backside, so I'll need assistance in plugging it in. Don't even ask about ejecting. And Justin's
Stand
out.
Proud.
Justin's out, yeah.
Nope, I'm behaving.
All right, so before this descends and we take even more time, because we've been lengthy this time around.
Well, it's a good thing that these are three separate episodes people can download at their leisure.
Exactly.
Captain America, Civil War.
Liked it.
Liked it.
All right, so then good enough for me. Cool.
But...
All right. Oh, what? Which particular but do you want to address first? And don't you dare say Scarlett Johansson.
Damn it. I get why Tony...
Chris Evans?
I get why Tony is on Team Iron Man, for obvious reasons. I get that. He's got PTSD.
I get why this dude is on his own team.
No, he's got PTSD. Every time he tries to make the world safer, he screws up. I stop myself. He screws up, and this is him reaching out. The guy who never, ever trusts the government is turning to the government and saying someone needs to police us because I'm doing a craptastic job at it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my problem. None of his so-called friends realize he's going through PTSD. The one time he tried to reach out in Iron Man 3, his best friend slept through it. So you've got all these people who are really worried about how Scarlet Witch is doing. They don't give two craps about how Tony's doing. And when Tony, in an act of pure insanity, says, let's just turn everything over to the government. I didn't even ask you guys about it ahead of time. Let's just do it because I need to be policed. And half of the Avengers are like, yeah, all right. That, I think, is my biggest problem with Civil War. And I think where the comics did it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bigger reason for them to do so in the comics with like the loss of children and the fact that this had been building to for a while, as opposed to the movies where they present this, and spoilers, by the way, where they present the case of, look, this is what happened in New York and Sokovia and all the, okay.
And DC.
Yeah, and great. But here's the problem with your presentation, Mr. Government Man, General Ross, now Secretary of State Ross. Yeah, that's good. Put the guy who's got a mat on for the Hulk in charge of the Avengers. Can't possibly go wrong. New York. So you mean the city that you guys sent us to save, and then you tried to nuke while we were saving it?
Yeah.
Where if we had been under the Sokovia Accords then, we would have been forced to stand down while you blew up Manhattan. That New York. Or okay, Washington, D.C., where Captain America fixed your screw-up with Hydra. Or, and some people argued, like, well, Hydra was only part in S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, no, Hydra also had at least one U.S. senator.
Yeah, it had...
Probably more.
It was out there.
Yeah, they had more. Or Sokovia, which, granted, that's Iron Man's fault. Not everyone else's. We got the majority of the people out. The only thing that they can use legitimately as an excuse for the Avengers to be policed, besides Sokovia, which again is Tony's fault, is the latest screw-up in Wakanda, where Scarlet...
It wasn't in Wakanda.
No, sorry, you're right.
Wakandans were injured
killed. They were injured. It was in Laos.
Laos, yeah.
Where Scarlet Witch accidentally ended up killing a few civilians while trying to save lives, mind you.
But by saving...
Saving hundreds.
Let's say just 100 lives on the street.
Yes.
And killed 12 people in an apartment.
Killed 12 people in an apartment, yes. That is enough reason for half of the Avengers to not even question the government and just be like, okay, yeah, you guys who clearly can't police us well... have teamed up with all these other nations, not given us any indication this is coming, drop it in our laps, and we're just going to go along with it because Tony says we should. And Cap's the bad guy? Yeah, that was my biggest problem with it, is that I get everyone, since I made this argument, everyone has come to me, it seems, online, it seems everyone. I'm like, well, this is why War Machine did it, because he's pro-government. Yeah, I get it. I get the individual, but like Vision had no reason to join Team Iron Man. No reason. Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow. She had
too many Scarlets.
I know. She had no reason, and it turned out no. She literally had no reason to be on Team Iron Man other than because. Who else was on Team Iron Man?
Black Panther, but he had his own agenda.
Panther wasn't on Team Iron Man. He was on Team I Hate Bucky. The best part of Captain America Civil War and the part I finally got behind Tony on was at the end when he found out what really happened to his parents. And that was the only time, to me, the fighting made sense. The fight scenes were great. It was the best part of the movie. Spider-Man is a freaking underling. He's a lackey in this movie.
He was basically blackmailed into it and or coerced.
Yeah.
He's a minor, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. So my biggest problem with Captain America Civil War, and I'm going to get hate for this, is that Batman v Superman, leading up to the fight, while it did involve blackmail and all this stuff, there was also all this backstory about Superman breaking things and Batman having a reason to fight Superman. Captain America and Iron Man did not have a reason to physically fight. They didn't. They could have talked this out. They could have just gone their separate ways. And then eventually, yeah, the government did order Iron Man to bring him in. It did not have to go down. Iron Man did not have a reason to trust the government. After the prior four movies, he had no reason whatsoever to trust the government. Batman v Superman told the conflict better. And I'm going to get so much hate email for that. And feel free to just use the contact button on geekcavepodcast.com. I'm just going to use it in my fireplace.
And I think that it is okay to say that something did something else better.
Right.
I mean, shoot, South Park made an entire episode of Simpsons did it. And I don't disagree with you.
I think Civil War was the better movie, don't get me wrong. Marvel makes their movies more fun.
Well, and I guess here's where my problem with the movie. Good movie, well done movie, and you know, like we said a couple months ago, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, not a bad movie.
No, just
I mean it's got its problems.
It has
and
problems.
We discussed those at length.
A lot of editing problems.
Yeah. My biggest problems with the Captain America Civil War, I didn't feel like it had one thing to do and it took it 2 hours to do it.
Yes.
And it did it over the course of what was essentially two separate stories.
Yeah.
Basically, all it really needed to do or all it did was broke up the team.
Yeah.
Now, that's got amazing storytelling potential, but what...
Now you've got Avengers and Secret Avengers. Yeah.
Well, what you've got now is you've got a prequel to Infinity War or yeah. Infinity Gauntlet or whatever the heck they're going to call the next Avengers
movie. I think
movie.
Infinity War is what they're going yeah. with. For the first one, anyway.
No, part one and part two. So.
Well, they're dropping part one and part two.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So.
Okay.
So in that way, it's very similar to Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice in that it was more concerned about building and setting up the world for the next movie.
Yeah.
That's problematic. I said to my spouse on the way home from the movie, it's 10 o'clock, I'm tired. And I said, I think that it failed as a movie. If you needed Captain America, or if you needed the first Avenger and you needed Winter Soldier in order to make sense of this movie, fine. It's part three of a trilogy. That's to be expected.
Right.
You can't make sense of Return of the Jedi without having Empire and Hope.
This kind of reminds me of the argument over Iron Man 3, though, in that you needed more than
right.
just.
And it's the exact same thing. What you have here is you have homework.
Yeah.
In order for the film to really work. Because in the other Captain America movies, you have no Iron Man. He's not there. You don't have Ant-Man. You don't have Hawkeye. You have Black Widow. She's there. You have Falcon.
Falcon, who probably
who was introduced in yeah. the second movie. So
that's
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Scarlet Black Widow was
in the second movie as well.
In the second movie as well. But I mean, she was introduced in Iron Man 2.
Two. Yes. Yeah.
So she's been around for a while. But it doesn't tell its own story. Not really. It's like its title doesn't match up with what it really wanted to do. We could have almost called this Dawn of Secret Avengers. Captain America, Dawn of Secret Avengers.
Iron Man's Reckoning.
And it would have come to about the same thing. You had two-thirds of a movie that was about the quote-unquote Civil War, which didn't look all that civil.
No.
Excuse me.
It was kind of
Pardon me, sorry.
It wasn't really much of a war as much as a scuffle.
Yeah.
Maybe a Donnybrook.
So, where was I? Anyway.
Dawn of Secret Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, so two-thirds of the movie that was about the Civil War was about the conflict between Tony and Steve and how they were trying to resolve that by not really resolving it and just arguing about it. And then one third, which was about the, you know, Bucky and the Winter Soldier. And all of that under the umbrella of this guy who, I'm pretty sure that we were supposed to see the Sokovia guy, or was he?
Zemo, yeah.
Zemo, Baron Zemo. I think we were supposed to see him and Tony as the same.
Yeah.
You know.
Both reacting to what happened in Sokovia.
Both reacting to what was happening in Sokovia, and both seemingly driven by a single incident.
Yes.
Therein. You know, you're telling me that Tony, who's been living in this PTSD nightmare...
Since Avengers 1.
I'm going to say since Iron Man 1.
Probably, yeah.
Since he was blown up and sent into a cave.
Yeah, yeah.
For 2 months.
That's a fair point, yeah. He almost died in Avengers. He should have died in Avengers, but he survived. But yeah, really Iron Man 1.
So you're telling me that since that... Over the years, over the adventures, over the heroics, he's never counted or thought about the people who've died as a result of him being Iron Man, whether directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
But some lady who's standing outside the elevator throws a picture in his chest. That and suddenly
annoyed
it,
the crap suddenly out of
it, me. It drops the bottom out of his entire worldview.
Yes.
It don't make sense.
Right.
And a straw that breaks the camel's back, whatever. I don't buy it.
You would think Pepper leaving would have been that.
Pepper leaving would have been a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I think to him.
I wish it happened on camera.
Yes, but then they would have had to pay Gwyneth Paltrow. And...
Could have even been a note.
But then, you know, Baron Zemo, and I get it, losing my wife and kid and my dad, I'm pretty sure that would mess me up something royal.
I'm a bad guy and it's not my fault.
But the other end, to take that one instance and instead of grieving it out, instead of working through that, deciding, you know, the best way of dealing with this is to destroy that which, you know, saved probably 500,000 other people.
Well, the world.
Yeah.
Saved the world, really, you know?
Well, 500,000 other people directly.
Yeah.
And then indirectly saving the rest of everything. I didn't much buy his motivation. I bought the plan.
Yes.
I understood completely the plan, but I didn't buy the motivation to it. And that's my personality probably eking through. I would imagine I'd be much more the guy who, you know, starts watching movies late at night, not sleeping, not eating, and just kind of being an asshole to everyone I know. Yeah. You know, not killing anyone, just...
So maybe just like a slight change in personality for you.
Yeah. Hating people. I would just be this molehill of hate.
Molehill of hate. Nice. Now, I mean,
there was a mountain out of it.
Yeah. There was a lot to like in the movie. We are being critical now, but there is a lot to like about it.
Well, and the thing, I think that the praise for this movie has been so effusive that we need to be
critical. It was unbalanced. It was almost like... Everyone went in planning to love this movie because the critics hated Batman v Superman so much that, because you notice this, the audiences initially loved Batman v Superman until it became cool not to like it. And then all of a sudden everyone hates it. But Marvel was like, oh yeah, it's going to be the greatest thing. And then when they go in, they say, it was the greatest thing. No, it really wasn't. It was good. It wasn't the greatest thing.
And when I was saying that I'm starting to see the cracks in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I mean that seriously. In, I'm seeing a lot more world building. Ant-Man told its story. It didn't tell it to me particularly well. It felt uneven as well.
I liked it, but there were problems.
And I liked it. It was funny. The character of Ant-Man was great.
And he kind of stole a lot of the scenes in Civil War, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would actually be, I think, an amazing movie, the Ant-Man Spider-Man team up.
Yes. Yeah, the Ant-Man and Hawkeye part, probably, it's something I've been waiting for years.
Yeah, which part was that?
Okay, when they announced Ant-Man, you think back to like Avengers 250 or something. The cover
is... Oh, sure, let me get right on that.
the cover is Hawkeye got his bow pulled back and Ant-Man is riding the arrow.
Okay.
And I don't mean Stephen Amell.
Now that's
a different comic book.
That's when he shoots him at Iron Man.
Yes, the arrow explodes. Yes, and he jumps off and he writes. That was amazing. I love that part.
I did enjoy.
Who
that.
Is this? Well, I'm your conscience, Tony. We don't talk much.
But all of Ant-Man really kind of stole the show a little bit. Spider-Man, as Spider-Man, was great.
I liked him as Peter, too.
I liked him as Peter, but wife is like, I wouldn't have cast him. I think just because she doesn't like how he looks. She doesn't want to admit that, but...
I absolutely would have kept that actor. I think Tom Holland nailed that part.
Yeah.
And
he looks young.
He nailed the awkward intimidation. The intimidated, I guess I should say, not intimidation. That sense of, oh my God, one of the smartest, richest men in the world is sitting in my living room talking to my aunt about me.
Yeah.
And now he's threatening to tell her about what I do otherwise. Yeah. And then when he's wearing the suit, you know, he puts on his mask and becomes the Spider-Man. It's that sense of...
Yeah. You know, I wasn't too keen on Marissa Tomei being Aunt May because she's suspiciously hot for an aunt.
Well, I go back to...
A-U-N-T, not A-N-T for aunt.
I go back to... May is supposed to be his aunt, not his grandma.
I'm just quoting the movie and joking.
I know. Okay, I get it.
Calm down.
I'm just so used to having to defend it.
Stop yelling.
Stop.
Stop yelling.
Breathe.
We're okay here.
Go to your happy place.
We're all friends. I was expecting him to say, are we really anymore?
Are we really friends? Are we? Yeah.
We'll fix it in the reboot. So,
dude, spoilers.
Bring some freaking hope in this shit.
Another one of my criticisms is just about everybody who's talking about Captain America Civil War is talking about the airport fight scene.
Yeah, it was good.
It is good, but I honestly think that the Tony Bucky Cap fight
that was better.
At the end
that was better.
Better.
In fact, that was probably the high point of the movie to me.
It felt, well, it was clearly more intimate, but it also felt more personal.
Well,
overall.
And like I said,
like everyone fighting had a reason to be fighting at that point.
Exactly.
Instead of just being on opposite
sides
of the tarmac.
It was justified.
Like I said, that part made sense. I got why they were on opposite sides there.
And I like that Tony has kind of the, with Friday, to be able to say, analyze fight pattern.
Yes.
To be able to
use
the suit
yeah.
to fist fight against Captain. And the implication that he's never used it before.
Yes.
I mean, because let's cross over to the DC side real quick. If Batman had that ability,
he'd use it day one.
He would have used it on everyone the moment that.
Yeah, as soon as he met them, yeah.
It would just be this case. And so that notion, we get the sense that Tony really did trust and admire Captain America such to the point that he never thought that he would have to defend himself or attack Tony. And so when he has that bit of desperation to his voice, you know, I thought I was your friend kind of thing. Yeah. It felt real.
Yeah.
And part of that goes to Robert Downey Jr. who has stepped into that role.
He is Iron Man. Yeah.
I don't know how that will ever be different. Yeah, I don't think anyone could do that. But he's also done it in, what, 6 movies now?
Yes.
I mean...
6 and a half, if you count.
3 Iron Mans, 2 Avengers.
A cameo at the end of The Incredible Hulk.
And now Captain America 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like no one can really see Wolverine being anyone other than...
Hugh Jackman, yeah.
Right. So, fine, okay, well and good, we get it. I want to see a little bit more out of the Marvel movies. And I think we'll get to see a little bit more when we get to Doctor Strange.
That and Captain Marvel as well. We'll have seen.
Because we're going to get back into that origin style storytelling where we're going to have to watch somebody brought low to raise themselves up. With Doctor Strange. I don't know
the
Captain
hero,
Marvel's
hero's
story,
journey,
and
yeah.
someday I'll ask Justin to talk about it.
He'll long box it.
But as
probably
it stands,
closer to time.
Yeah.
But as it stands, I mean, Doctor Strange is one of those interesting characters that doesn't seem to fit in the current world almost.
Right.
If it weren't for Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
So,
whose powers have been changed drastically for the movies.
Well, and they seem to be changing per movie.
Yeah.
So, long story short, and I realize there's been a long story and kind of back and forth and even haphazard, not nearly so structured as the BVS DOJ
review
that we did a few months ago. It's a good movie.
It is. Black Panther is
critics
great.
And fans alike are saying this is a good movie. Yes, the Black Panther character.
Great introduction.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yes.
Did a great job.
Yes.
With Black Panther. I not only believed his motivation, but I believed his regality.
Yes.
I believed that he was king of Wakanda as soon as his father died. You know, that his bearing changed.
Yeah.
Fun bit of trivia to me is, I guess the guy who plays him like combined several different African accents to create the Wakandan accent. And from the time that they started filming until the end, he didn't leave that accent so he wouldn't lose it. I said, that's going to be really interesting when he has to be in the next one.
Yeah.
Well, he'll just rewatch.
Well, yeah.
He just rewatch himself and that's how I did it.
But it's amazing the dedication that some will have to their art.
Well, yeah. he was brilliant in the role.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And genuinely intimidating as the Black Panther, which, by the way, the suit looked fantastic.
The suit looked right. I like that it was vibranium pretty much all over.
Oh, yeah. Which it made sense. It makes a lot more sense than a fabric outfit because, come on, if you have vibranium all up in your country, you're going to use it.
And the part of the Black Panther part that made me kind of realize a little bit more about his character, his power, whatnot, is at the end when Zemo tries to shoot himself in the head, and the guy's standing like 5 feet away, and between pulling the trigger and the boom, he's over there with his hand over the gun. It's like, no, we are not done with you.
Justice is not done with you yet.
Yeah. So go see it. If you haven't, if you have seen it, good on you.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, we've spoiled the entire movie for you, but go see it anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
the spoilers will make more sense.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that you can tell somebody the ending of every single movie. If it's a well-done movie.
Still worth seeing.
It's still going to be worth seeing to see how they do it.
Yeah.
You know, if all a movie was people talking, I think that we'd still be listening to our radios in terms of nightly entertainment.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with radio, but we got away from radio drama because we can engage more of the senses.
Yeah. Them moving pictures and whatnot.
Yeah.
Them talkies. So,
no, I'm not belittling radio.
Well, you shouldn't. What we're doing is a form of it.
I agree.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that if the entire experience is ruined because you're listening to us on your computer or over your iPod
or your phone or whatever,
TuneIn or Stitcher or whatever we're on.
Yes. All the things.
then you're probably not getting the full effect of a movie anyway.
Yeah.
So
wait until we finally do video podcasting.
Do you realize how much collective weight we have to lose to be... He couldn't fit all three of us on a screen.
Well, we can get like a wide angle lens.
and set it across the street.
But that would require us to actually like wear clothing we want people to see us in. So.
Fair.
Yeah. What I'm saying is video podcasting is a long way off.
No, we just have to sit on the same side of the table with a skirt in front of the table. So.
We can still, yeah.
Sans we just have to wear pants. Shirts.
Yeah.
I could handle that.
Theater of the mind.
So, last bit. Is that pretty much wrap us for Cap 3, you think?
Yeah, I think we all agree.
Yeah.
Good movie. Could have been done a little better. I mean, I...
Could have been done a lot worse.
I probably liked it the least of the three of us, but I still really liked it. But I still... And again, unpopular opinion. Maybe not here, but unpopular opinion as far as the internet goes. I liked Dawn of Justice a little more. That's just me. I tend to like bad movies more, apparently. Look at Green Lantern.
Well, and I wonder if there's not one, just a little bit of the rebel in you that wants to like something that people don't and wants to dislike something.
Screw you, I like the movie. Yeah.
But the other part is you probably watch movies for a particular mood, for a particular experience, and yeah. The DC movies, for better or worse, match what you're trying to find.
Well, it's not even that, because I do agree that DC needs to lighten the hell up.
I thought for sure we were going to get a fifth one.
No, they need to lighten the hell up. They do. Superman can't be mopey all the bloody time.
I disagree. Batman v Superman showed that he could be mopey anytime okay. He's not bathing.
All right. Superman shouldn't be mopey.
And technically he wasn't bathing.
He was just getting the floor wet.
There may have been soap involved, but it wasn't for the purposes of being clean, because what they were going to do, what clean?
Do you suppose he has like a steel brush or something to get his back?
Steel wool on a stick. And
well, you know, because a loofah is not really going to do anything. It's not going to exfoliate.
No.
Yeah, just... What are you doing in there? I'm brushing my teeth.
He's just got like a set of like woodworking files and
getting into his nails.
He's got like a lathe for like exfoliating, you know. But anyway, no, what my point is, Superman is a character that should be one that is a symbol of optimism, a symbol of hope, something we look up to. Mm-hmm. I admit they did not do Superman really well. But the story that they were telling was The Dark Knight Returns, essentially, mixed with Wonder Woman's origin, a little bit of it. That they did well. And I just, you know, what did I enjoy more? What movie, when I left it, was I more pumped up with? Yes, the Wonder Woman theme, which is like the X-Men 90s. But at the end of the day, I left Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice a little bit more jazzed. Than Civil War. I love the Marvel movies. I like the Marvel movies easily better than 2/3 of the recent Batman trilogy. Dark Knight's still really great. Batman Begins was pretty good. And less said about Dark Knight Rises for me, the better. But that's just personal taste. It's not that I like darker movies. I certainly enjoy optimism a lot more. But I just think in this particular case, since it was pretty much modeled as a showdown between one company or the other, I leaned toward DC a little bit.
Oakley doakley. So, these guys, they came to my cave this month.
Yep.
I made them watch Kindergarten Cop 2.
He provided alcohol, so it wasn't too
he
bad.
He did, yeah.
And root ice beer, cream.
Yeah, yes. Liquored up root beer floats.
Liquored up root beer floats. Guys, what did you think?
The alcohol, Kindergarten Cop the too. Alcohol helped take away the pain a little bit.
I'm just astounded that they thought they could convince me that women were falling all over themselves to get themselves a piece of leathery burnt bacon Dolph Lundgren.
But
I wish it was Dolph Ziggler instead of Dolph Lundgren in this movie.
You don't seem to understand, though. I mean, Dolph Lundgren has a very sexy brain.
Like I said, the suspension of disbelief was a bit much for me. I may sound like a horrible person saying this. I don't really care for kids in movies. I don't like it when there is a kid in a movie, unless the kid is like barely there, or if it is a movie, like an animated movie or something where like the kid is the main character, but it's not annoying.
You should never watch The Professional.
Yeah. Well, I did, unfortunately. Children as like plot devices, or in this case, children as humor devices. For me, maybe it's because I don't have kids. Maybe it's a reason I don't have kids. I get really annoyed really easily when it's like, Reed, I need to go to the bathroom. And 5 seconds later, she's peed on his shoes. That's fun. No, it's not. It's not funny. It's stupid. So that's just me. But Kindergarten Cop 2 was, it was a movie.
It was a movie.
It was a movie that was produced as a sequel to the first one, and that based is probably it was based original. On the original, and that is like the best thing I can say about it.
Based on the film.
No, the best thing was his boss, the police chief.
Oh, absolutely, the FBI director.
Yeah. See, I keep thinking he's a cop. No, he's FBI, but they look like they're just in a normal police station doing normal police shit.
The FBI director is so flippin' amazing. He looks like he was told that he was going to be in a silent movie.
He looks like he's surprised every time he's on screen.
And so he's got silent movie eyes
every
time he talks. Like, his eyes get really wide.
Fantastic facial expressions.
It looks like it also feels like this movie was sponsored by Twix and or My Little Pony.
There is that possibility, certainly.
A lot of product placement in this movie.
How else is this going to get made?
I mean, it was executive produced by Dolph Lundgren, so obviously it needed a revenue stream
somewhere. That face ain't making much money anymore, so.
Yeah. So, we're not going to spend too much time on this. We've spent enough time in the movie segment. Don't watch it.
Yeah, you want my thoughts?
It is absolutely hysterical if you've got the right crowd around you to make fun of it with you laugh at the silliness of it.
And the right kind of beverages.
But don't watch this. Kindergarten Cop was a silly movie anyway.
Yeah.
But watchable.
It was a good fish out of water story.
Yes.
That we wanted to root for Arnold Schwarzenegger's character in that.
It's a good kind of story to tell.
Mr. Kimble.
Yeah.
This fish out of water story, it just irritated me. And this is where I fall in a parallel track to Darren. I do have a child. And I see the school that liberal, hippie.
I wanted to beat the snot out of like half of the school.
Citizen of the world kind of school. I'm just like, I am not what you would call like a far right.
No.
Kind of personality. I tend toward nonviolence and peaceful resolution.
I'm to the right of Chad.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
There's only so much hippy dippy talk I can take before I'm just like, you know, if you got a kid that can't eat peanut butter to that level, maybe they ought to have a sign on the door
or something. Yeah,
piece of paper. Everybody who comes out of the room gets told, it's like, hey, no tree nuts in here, sorry.
Yeah, like,
which if that kid's got a nut allergy,
that's fair.
That somebody needs to explain to me how those girls were able to bring tofu, which is made of soybean, which, yes, it's a bean, not a nut, but there's just that
no one tells him he eats a PB&J sandwich. It's played up for humor, but it's a little too much, a few seconds, minutes too long of the kids running around screaming, we're all going to die. Okay. It wasn't funny. The first, hour that you've done this,
the first second
everything felt really long.
Oh yeah.
Every scene felt really long.
After we sat there for 3 hours, we realized there was 20 minutes left.
Well, the movie takes place over 5 days and it feels like you're watching it in real time.
Yeah. Kind of does.
Best part of the movie, Bill Bellamy.
No, best part of the movie was when it was over.
Credits, you think?
When it stopped. The end.
When we turned it off.
When the TV was blank.
When he got up and left. That was his favorite part.
I'm honestly surprised that he didn't leave earlier to see what the women folks was doing.
Me too.
My trip to the bathroom after the movie was the best part of the movie.
It was the best release he's had all day.
It felt cleansing.
It felt like I was actually...
I emptied myself of all the negativity.
Yeah, it really felt like I was removing the movie from my body.
Flush. Farewell, Nemo.
This movie is shit. In case you needed it spelled out even more.
So, don't be like us.
Don't be like us. That's not a random movie review.
No, heck no. You guys reviewed it as much as I did.
Yeah.
Clearly.
That's fair.
Clearly not a review.
Because.
Just a suggestion. Don't see it.
I'm still kind of disappointed he found that clause in the contract. So he hasn't had to do these anymore. But.
I smile with beatific grace.
It's fair. I mean, I probably should have gotten the contract from somewhere other than freelegaldocuments.com, to be fair. That's my fault.
I mean, come on, at least one of our listeners is a lawyer.
Yeah, and he didn't even warn us about that.
So, that's all I have for movies. There wasn't much, and yet we went for an hour.
Well, our three episodes combined are about as long as the uncut version of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
I wonder if they'll sync up.
That would be great if they did, but I highly doubt it.
We should sync them up. Like, we should we should do that sometime.
We should play some Pink Floyd while we do it as well.
Yeah.
Linkception.
We should just do that all the time.
Yeah. We should do that. We should find a way to do, like, a podcast episode or a series of episodes that link up to, like, an album, a Pink Floyd album.
That'd be a lot of work.
That's a thought for another day. You're Justin. You're Chad.
I am.
The guy who voices is Kent. And our sponsors are Shirtosaurus, BuzzTime, and GameStop. And oh, by the way, our charity is extra-life.org. We're doing it for the Children's Miracle Network. Please donate, not only so we can offload some of these really awesome prizes so we don't claim them as ours. And then
We will.
And then have to claim them for tax purposes. But
because we won't.
Yeah. But so you can help out a good cause and get free stuff. We're actually rewarding you for being a good person. Think about that. Where does that happen? Thanks a lot for listening. Check us out on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and GeekKPodcast.com. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.